T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Napa know-how.
If you know how to pick something up and put it in a bucket, you know how to save 20%. This week only, buy a Napa bucket for $2.99, fill it to the top, and boom, you're a savings genius. So hurry in and save, because the Napa 20% off deal ends soon. Quality parts, helpful people. That's Napa know-how.
Napa know-how.
At participating stores, exclusions apply. Minimum 3 items. Offer available July 23rd through July 31st.
It's Mark and Kitchen.
Impressive bounce back win and much needed win for the Cavaliers.
I have a huge responsibility for this team.
Boston never really in this one.
You know, I have to score, I have to rebound, I have to defend.
Backdoor James throws it down.
And I also have to inspire my teammates to, you know, be better.
And this Eastern Conference final is now 2-1 in favor of the Celtics.
And I'm okay with that.
On Sports Radio 103.7 WEEI.
And he gets around it.
Sorry, the Wookiee's back.
That's what I was wondering. I wanted to see it.
They vary in color. Some of them are quite strikingly beautiful.
Matt, we got to ban him. We have to ban him from the studios. He's just too distracting.
I can't hear that sound. And
like
then
this is a big one.
Just staring at him right now in his like creamy white, just cottage cheese legs.
And what it's doing is it's just searching, probing the rat hole. Underneath the soil is like a subterranean labyrinth.
He's wearing flip-flops in the office right now.
These by name, certainly not by nature.
So that's what a sloth looks like in person.
You are horrifying to look at, yes.
Now, it's time for Mark and Kitchen on Sports Radio 103.7 WEEI.
Coming at ya! All right, hour 3 of the Mark and Kitchen Show, 103.7 WEEI, 401-737-1287 is the phone number. Again, 401-737-1287. The Celtics lost game 3 in Cleveland last night. The game was over in the first quarter. They looked like crap. They looked out. They were outworked. The defensive effort was my biggest concern. And the shots weren't falling, which doesn't shock me. Those things happen. They haven't been great on the road.
That's not a big concern.
The question is, after that game, with the way that game played out, has your mindset in terms of how you feel about this series changed at all after what you saw on Saturday night?
No, because I changed my mindset after game 2, because I originally said the Cavs were going to win the series.
Okay, so you changed your mindset after game 2. Did it change again after Saturday night?
No, it didn't. It didn't. But I was disgusted with what I saw.
Yeah.
Because there was no effort whatsoever from them. No intensity, no aggressiveness, no hustle. And Cleveland had all of that in spades. But Cleveland had none of that in the first two games. So that's why I'm not that concerned anymore, because my prediction already looked like a fool anyway. I'm not concerned with them, because Cleveland's a very streaky team. Those other guys are very streaky players. J.R. Smith, streaky. Kyle Korver, streaky. Tristan Thompson, really not that good. Kevin Love, decent, but streaky as well.
Mm-hmm.
And when you have a streaky team like that, yeah, they might be able to get hot for one or two games. But no, I'm not worried about them right now over the entirety of a 7-game series, because we've already seen what the blueprint for the Celtics is. We've already seen exactly what they need to do, which is say, hey, LeBron, do whatever the hell you want, because you can't beat us on your own.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to limit what everyone else can do, because if we do that, not only are we in the game, we're probably pacing you right now. And that's exactly what they did in game 1, and that's exactly what they did for 2.5 quarters in game 2.
And what happened in game 3 is a testament to what you just said. LeBron James, 27 points, 12 assists. He didn't dominate the game statistically, but they still won, and they won comfortably, mainly because the Cavs shot 50% from 3, which I do not think happens again.
No, it doesn't happen again. I mean, George Hill did a good job of getting going right away.
Right away.
Right away. They none of the starters on the Cavaliers were looking to facilitate to LeBron right away. They were looking to get their own shots right away. And when Kyle Korver came in, I think he went 5-for-5. You know, didn't miss a single shot. He came in and he was very good. He was looking for his shot and he was hustling his ass off. That's one thing about Korver. He's not a great player.
4-for-4 from 3 for Korver.
5-for-5 overall, though?
Field 5-for-5 field goal, yeah.
Yeah, didn't miss a single shot. He's over the first 3 minutes of the second half.
No, that was,
you know,
I didn't think the officiating did any favors for the Celtics.
No,
I will say that.
But it didn't cost them the
game.
No,
it certainly didn't.
The officials, you know, they've costed teams games before.
Yeah.
But that's when it's a close game. If it's a 30-point game, the officials didn't cost you the game. You can't blame them.
Okay. Did my mentality about this series change after game three? No, it did not. I think that this was a quote-unquote scheduled loss. I think that I did not. Even after the two games we saw in Boston, I didn't think the Celtics were going to sweep LeBron James out of the Eastern Conference Finals.
No.
I did not think that was going to happen. My thought process towards this series has not changed. I still think the Celtics win in seven, despite what we saw in the first two games in Boston. I think it will be a long series. Home court was critical to me. I think that was underplayed going into this series. Because, like last year, I forget who had home court last year in the Eastern Conference Finals. You remember?
Celtics.
Celtics had home court. It meant nothing.
Celtics were the number one seed.
Right. Last year, it meant nothing to me. Nothing.
No.
Because you knew they were losing that series. Number one seed, home court, didn't matter. It meant nothing last year. This year, it means something because of how close the teams are, even without Kyrie. It means something, and it's going to mean something. And I was just thinking while you were talking, am I concerned? Did I change the way I think about this series after game three? No. Is there anything that could change the way I will think about this series? And I'm going to say no.
Really?
I don't. If they get blown out in game two, I'm still going to believe in home
game
court.
Game four?
I'm sorry, game four. I will still believe in home court.
Yeah. So until they lose at home, you're not going to change your mind. Because if they lose game five at home, does that change things for you? If the Cavaliers win games three, four, and five being in Boston, and now they have a 3-2 series lead, does that change things for you?
I don't think it does.
Really?
I'm not going to get on board with Cleveland winning four straight games over the Celtics team. I don't care. I don't think it can happen. And then it becomes, can they still win in game six? And then you go to Boston for game seven.
Yeah.
That's what I said. Celtics in seven. I'm not saying I'm going to be wrong. I don't feel great if they lose game five and they've lost three in a row. I refuse to believe, because then the question will become, does it become disappointing? The one I asked you last week,
mm-hmm.
Does it become disappointing going up 2-0 and losing four in a row? I mean, you could stomach if they lost the series, if they went to seven and LeBron just was unbelievable and just took over. But you losing four in a row?
Brutal.
That would be a tough thing to stomach going into the summer.
My concern with the Celtics, though, is, and we've seen it throughout the entirety of the playoffs, they're not good on the road, and it feels like they need the home crowd more than any other team in the NBA right now. They really need that home crowd to spark them on. Terry Rozier is so much better when the crowd's behind him.
Yeah.
You know, there's only one guy I look at that and go, he's pretty steady regardless, and that's Jason Tatum.
He's portable.
Because Al Horford kind of needs the crowd to get behind him to really get going and to start to feeling the flow of the
Which
game.
Which is kind of inexcusable for
a veteran.
It's very
it's inexcusable for anyone at any age, really, because that's a childish thing. But it's more forgivable with a guy that's 22, 21 years old. You know, Rozier definitely
wasn't a starter all season.
Yeah, Rozier needs it. You can see it in his play. You can see it in his body language. He gets emboldened when the crowd starts cheering for him, and he does a couple good things in a row. Now it feels like he can take over a game, and he's actually done it.
Yeah.
Al Horford seems to need it. You see him all of a sudden get really pumped up when the crowd's getting loud and behind him specifically.
So what's your prediction for game four?
I think the Cavaliers win game four, but I think it's a very good game. I think this is like a 96-93 type of game. I think it's a really good game.
I think the Cavaliers win game four, and I think it's close.
Yeah. Isn't that what I just said?
Yeah.
Okay.
I agree. I'm with you right there. I definitely think it's close.
I think it's going to be a good game.
No way either team gets blown out. No
because
way.
I think the Cavaliers are a little more confident. If you kind of bring it back down to earth and you start to limit a little bit of the J.R. Smiths of the world.
50% from three, 34 attempts, and go 50%.
Absolutely. And the other thing, I mean, you saw this last night in the game. Too often this was happening. LeBron was driving. They'd bring the double to him, and he'd pass it right to Tristan Thompson or Kevin Love underneath the hoop, and they'd put it right in. You know, there's been too much of that. Let LeBron go. Let LeBron go. And there's no need to let Tristan Thompson get involved in the game. Send LeBron to the foul line.
Yeah.
Make him earn it.
And he hasn't been great shooting free throws.
No, he hasn't. So make him earn it. You've got people that you can burn fouls with who are physical defenders in Semi Ojeleye. It's not like he's ever there for offense. He's there literally to play some solid defense and to give up a couple of fouls.
Yeah.
And make the other guy work for it. Put Semi out there. Not I'm not saying play him for 30 minutes on LeBron, because Marcus Morris has done a serviceable enough job. Not the second best player defending LeBron in the league, but he's done a serviceable job. So just, you know, make sure you keep letting those guys take the fouls instead of someone like Jaylen Brown. I know people think Jaylen Brown, hey, he might be more equipped because he's a little bit better athlete.
One of those calls last night was ridiculous. So he went flying. He got run over by LeBron. And it was a foul on Brown.
That was insane. There was a couple of insane calls last night. If that was a close game, anyone would have said the refs
blew
that game.
I know, though, you say that the refs can't blow a game when it's a blow. And I'm with you. But an early ticky-tack foul like that can derail.
You're thinking like the ref could blow a game because of the actions early in the game and set the tone for the game?
If we want to get very local, a couple years ago, Chris Dunn, who was on Providence, they had a tournament game, I think it was in Dayton against Dayton.
Okay.
He was their best player. He plays for the Bulls now. He early in that game, he got two quick ticky-tack fouls called on him.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And
try again. What kind of fouls? Ticky-tack?
Yeah, whatever you want to call them. Weak fouls, weak sauce.
Okay.
And he that kind of derailed his rhythm because you're all of a sudden automatically kind of you get tentative, you get, you know, concerned. I mean, in college they only have five fouls, but you're worried that you're not going to be able to be as aggressive. You aren't as aggressive, and that derailed the whole game because he's their best player, and they could never really recover from those early ticky-dicky fouls. So it was a problem, and I just think that I don't think that game I'm referring to with Providence, that was more of a player than what happened last night. Yeah. But there was probably a little bit of that. Jaylen Brown, early foul trouble. Not as aggressive.
I mean,
who said it? Somebody said after the game, I forget who. Somebody said it's hard. Oh, I think it was Brown. He said it's hard to guard LeBron when you can't touch him.
Yeah, it is a little insane how much he gets. And how physical he'll decide to play and get nothing.
It was just the way that game went last night. They were calling it. They were not letting the Celtics play. I'm not, again, not blaming the officials, but that's the fact. They weren't really letting the Celtics play early in the game. That hurt Brown. It certainly didn't help the rhythm that they were trying to get into when we talk about the entirety of Game 3. And then by the time they either found some semblance of rhythm, Cleveland had found theirs. Okay. They were playing free and easy.
Okay. Yes, I understand it, especially when you get a couple of ridiculous fouls that shouldn't be fouls early in the game. It kind of puts you out of the game. But I can buy it as a semi-excuse for Jaylen Brown. But what's everyone else's excuse?
Well, what's everyone else's excuse for the lack of defensive effort?
Yeah, there was no effort.
No.
There was no hustle.
They were going to lose that game.
Yeah.
50%
like you said, scheduled loss.
Yeah.
Just like, all right, we're up. Got a little too cocky here. We beat the King twice in the first two games at home, and they just kind of loafed in that game. Now, they're not going to loaf in Game 4. They're going to work their asses off.
This still goes back to this all comes back, and I forget if we've talked about this, but the 2-2-1-1-1
format. Yeah, we've talked about it.
That is so – I like it because it really does – not only does it favor the underdog, it favors the team that is down, you know, because – I just think, and hey, credit to the Cavs because in 2016 they did it in the finals because that's the 2-3-2 format.
Yep.
I think it's just so daunting to have to go win two in a row at the other team's place.
Mm-hmm.
To not have to do that late in the series, I think is you could steal one. You know, game seven, anything can happen. You could maybe steal, but if the Cavs had to win 6 and 7 in Boston, if it was 3-2 Celtics, I mean.
Yeah, but here's what I hate about it. Absolutely hate more than anything.
What?
Is Tuesday to Saturday?
Oh, that's unexcusable.
We had to wait?
Oh, that's ridiculous. I mean, that
Jesus.
Is ridiculous.
It's not like you went to, you know, it's not like you went to London for the next
two,
game
three,
and had to adjust to the time and needed a day or two.
Oh, that was ridiculous.
You went to Cleveland from Boston.
Was that did that affect the Celtics at all? Did that benefit LeBron that extra time?
I think so.
Yeah.
It should always benefit the team that's down and
not
needs
even
to figure
discussion.
Things out.
No discussion. That's ridiculous. That time off, absolutely unnecessary.
Why couldn't they have played, what was it, Monday?
It was Tuesday. Tuesday and then Saturday.
Tuesday and Saturday.
Yeah.
Why couldn't you have played Thursday?
Yeah.
You
Friday at least.
You flew to Cleveland after the game Tuesday night.
Yeah, I don't know.
You're there all day Wednesday. You're there all day Thursday. Why don't you play Thursday night?
But, and I think, to be honest with you, if it was 2-3-2, the Celtics, they feel, so they win the first two at home.
Yeah.
You know, they protect home court. They're thinking, we just need to take one in Cleveland, and you have three. So now you're thinking, like, we need to take two in Cleveland. And it's just, like, mentally, it's different. we got to take one in Cleveland. Well, there's only two chances. If you have three, you feel like you have a little
bit. Well, they put themselves in a position where they don't have to, thankfully for them, because they won the first two games at home.
Well, I know, but you'd still like to take one in Cleveland.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's what we always say. The series doesn't start until someone wins on the away court.
But I just think mentally, the 2-2-1-1-1 is such an advantage for the underdog and the team that's trailing. It's mentally, and the setup is such an advantage. Not having to win late in the series, two games on the other team's floor, is huge. It's huge.
Yeah. I care more about it as a viewer than I do for them.
What
just,
do you mean?
Just the insanity of waiting 4 or 5 days for his freaking playoff game.
Is that because of the 2-2-1-1-1? Is that why the layoff is so long?
No, it's because of TV.
Well, yeah, I hate that. It's the NBA. I mean,
it's the networks
all,
more than anything.
The freaking playoff shouldn't be 2 months long.
No.
2.5 months long.
No.
Ridiculous.
No, because if you get into a series, you want to watch it every single night.
Yeah,
you have a good series, you want to watch it every single night.
Think about, I mean, when the last time we saw Lonzo Ball play, it feels like a season ago. I mean, he hasn't played.
Yeah, basically.
Real quick, Western Conference thoughts.
You had an issue there with the Warriors not hustling and playing very hard either, where it's like they had the series under wraps already after winning one game.
I still think the Warriors win this series.
I do too. I think they win the title without much of more of a problem.
True or false? Steph Curry is overrated.
True.
I think he's a little overrated in the playoffs. If you look...
But I don't know if I'd be saying that if Kevin Durant wasn't there.
Okay. He hasn't been good, really. I mean, I shouldn't say he hasn't been good. He's never won Finals MVP. That's a fact.
He's won league MVP.
He's won league MVP.
Yeah.
Okay? But in the playoffs, it's arguably a different game.
Who's Iguodala and Durant?
Correct.
Okay.
So that, you know, that's something to me. He was terrible in the fourth quarter in 2016.
Oh, yeah.
He make a couple shots, they win that game. He could not hit anything. Okay, and that he turned it over. He was brutal late in that game. They lose that series. Lose two in a row at home. He's been a little, maybe overrated isn't the way to put it.
It's good. It's fine.
Okay.
And I'll explain why. Is he one of the greatest shooters, if not the greatest shooter of a basketball of all time? Yeah, without a doubt. Without a doubt. The rest of his game isn't.
He gets taken advantage of defensively sometimes.
He's bad defensively.
Yeah.
And for those people that look at just the numbers and go, he gets a pretty fair amount of steals per game, he cherry picks, okay? Because it's usually he's caught out of position, the guy's making the right play, and then he just happens to be there because
he's in the
wrong
position. Well, I'm not going to fault him for getting steals.
No, I know, but don't use that as a barometer of him being a good defender.
Can he shut you down? It's a different kind of defender.
No, absolutely not.
Right.
Every point guard in the league can go by him.
Marcus Smart, he might not get the steals, but he can shut your... He can shut you down.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah. He is overrated. He's a very good player.
Yeah.
He's an excellent player, and I love watching him play, but he's a little overrated.
I got destroyed, I remember, a few years ago on Twitter when I said, if I'm keeping one guy, I'm trading Curry and keeping Durant. And that seems like an easy decision to make.
Oh, for the Warriors.
Yeah, I figured that if they couldn't keep everybody, I mean, I thought Kevin Durant, you keep Durant.
100%.
He's a better defender.
100 out of 100
times. Over anybody in the league. Look, Curry, the greatest shooter I've ever seen, but we all know, you know, the playoffs. Injury problems, but shooting, you can go cold. That's the way the game is. And if you're not as good taking it to the basket, I mean, it's why Dwayne Wade was so good. He took it to the basket. Now his career, his shelf life was shorter. He wasn't as good of a shooter, but he always could get to the rim. And he got fouled, and he got to the line. I mean, that never really goes away, you know? That's playoff basketball, and Curry, that's not him.
So people were giving you crap by saying you would trade Curry over Durant.
Go tweet something about Steph Curry and watch what happens.
Oh, I did it once about Rondo when he was with the Kings, and those idiots came after me savages. Yeah,
I can't even tell you how many people tweeted at me, yo, you got to get off that crack pipe.
Well, you
get
do.
Off the pipe.
I mean, yes, you should stop smoking crack.
Yeah.
But that's neither here nor there. That has nothing to do with the discussion at hand.
It was all over. I was destroyed. Weeks later, I was getting a tweet.
Oh, I did the same thing when, and I hardly ever tweet because I just don't really like social media all that much. But when Rondo had called that referee, I'm forgetting the referee's name, a homophobic slur.
Yeah.
And then quasi-apologized but never actually apologized, I just tweeted out in response to his tweet. That wasn't actually an apology. That was literally all I said.
Yeah.
And then it was like a bleep storm came raining down on me from Sacramento Kings fans, because he was in Sacramento at the time. and like they're pulling out old tweets out of context and trying to, so you're a jerk too. Like, what the hell are you talking about?
Yeah.
What is going on here?
Northern California basketball.
And I don't block people because I really don't care. You can tweet at me all you want saying the worst things in the world. It doesn't bother me, but it was just hilarious.
So you think the Celtics lose game four?
Yes.
And
you do too. Don't put that on me. You
no,
do
no,
too.
No. I think I'm going to, if I had to bet, I would go Cleveland in a close game four. I don't know what the line is. But we can check, and when we get back, we're going to talk about the legislation.
How important is that line to you?
Supreme Court decision, well, against the spread, that's very different than if you're just betting straight up a money line. We're going to talk about betting, sports betting, gambling, when we get back. This is the Mark and Kitchen Show, 103.7 WEEI.
It's Mark and Kitchen on Sports Radio 103.7 WEEI. Call the show at 401-737-1287.
What? That sounds great. And you know what? It'll be nice having a little extra cash to bet on college football. Yeah, I'd like to bet $100.
You want to pick a team?
No, just take it.
All right, back here on the Mark and Kitchen Show, 401-737-1287. Right now, Ben, the Cleveland Cavaliers are 6.5-point favorites. Over the Celtics
what does that mean?
Four.
What does that mean?
Okay, so they're minus six. So you're not, you don't.
What does that mean?
Okay. So that means that they're favored to win by 6.5 points.
Okay.
So if you bet on Cleveland and the line, you would need them to win by more than
seven
6 points. Yes,
right?
7 points.
Or more.
Or you lose the bet. So if they win by five, you lose the bet.
So if you bet on the Celtics in that scenario, explain to me what you're betting on.
So if you bet on the Celtics plus 6.5 in that scenario, if they lose 100-94, you win.
So they have to lose by anything less than six.
They have to
less.
Lose by less than 6 points.
Or win. So even if they win, you still win
if
the bet?
If they win, you win the bet. So I would take the Celtics. I probably would take the Celtics in this scenario. I don't think
considering
gonna,
what we both said about this game,
it's going to be more than a 6.5-point game.
Yeah. I've only made three sports bets in my entire life. I'm not anti-gambling. I like the casino. I like betting on things that I, at least in my mind, have some semblance of control over.
Yeah.
I made three sports bets in my entire life, and they all came in the span of a couple of months.
Yeah.
And it was because I lived with two degenerate gamblers when we were 23 years old.
Yeah.
And I won two of them, lost one. So I'm plus $50.
Were they just straight-up bets, parlays, teasers? What were they?
Just straight-up bets.
On one game?
No, it was three different games. Okay, three different things.
Could have been a teaser.
I won the Patriots 4th-and-2 game against the Colts because of the spread.
Okay.
I won one of the games in the 2010 NBA Finals. Don't remember which one it was, but I lost the series bet. I thought the Celtics were going to beat the Lakers, and they lost. So I won two of those bets and lost one.
So were those three separate bets?
Yes.
Okay.
Three separate bets. None of them were tied together.
So you've never done a teaser. You've never done a
never
parlay.
Parlayed. I've never done any of that, and I don't really understand what it is. Even though I watched these two kids lose $50,000 gambling on sports, I have no clue.
That's a lot of money to lose.
Especially when you're 23, 24 years old.
Where did they have that money to gamble?
They didn't.
Okay. Yikes. Yeah, you want to be careful. A parlay is you risk, you don't have to risk a lot to win a lot, but you need a lot of things to happen.
So it's like instead of, it would be like roulette. Instead of betting one number with $50, it would be spreading that $50 over a couple of numbers, or betting $5 on a couple of numbers, and if they all hit, you win bigger?
I guess, yeah. I mean, a parlay would be, like, if we were going to do a parlay today, who do the Red Sox play today?
They're Orioles.
Playing Orioles, right. If we were going to do a parlay, we would take the Golden State minus 7.5. We take the Red Sox minus 1.5. We would take the Golden Knights to win the series. They're minus 2. We take them. So there's a three-team parlay, and we need every one of them to work out or we lose.
And if they all work out, you hit huge.
You hit huge. Okay. So I've done a few parlays. For example, you can adjust the spreads, and then you win less. Let's say I did a parlay where I was going to take the Celtics, but minus 6 or plus 6.5 wasn't enough. I want to get to plus 10. Well, I can increase it. I have a better chance of winning, but then I lose money. So I had one risk I risked $20, won $320. Because I had 8 teams in the parlay, and they all hit.
Wow. Okay.
And it's the absolute most fun you'll have watching sports.
I've noticed that. I mean, when my friends were doing it, they were watching games that no one in their right mind would actually
watch. You should have seen
like a mid-December Oregon basketball game versus Santa Clara.
Louisville, like, Cincinnati football game. I'm watching like it's the AFC championship game with the Patriots.
Yes. So how often are you betting on sports? Every week?
No, I'm not doing it now. I mean, I'm just saying I've done it before.
Okay.
I'm not actively doing it. I could be. I'm not. Depending on this. Look, DraftKings.
Yeah.
That's gambling.
Yes.
That is like they can call it fantasy. That is a parlay. That's what that is.
Okay.
Essentially.
You're betting on all these players and
they all
hit. You need
all those guys to have a good game or you don't win.
I've never done it. I mean, I appreciate DraftKings and what they do. I play fantasy football with my friends and that's literally
They call it daily fantasy. No, that is betting. It's a parlay. It's however
And it should be legal.
Yeah, however many guys you have, it's seven guys, it's a 17 parlay. You need each one of those guys to have a good game, and then you win.
Okay.
I guess the difference is you can win, you could win a little bit if one of the guys, you could still win some money or whatever, a parlay. If one of the teams doesn't hit, you don't win anything.
Let me ask you this.
Yeah.
When you were doing this.
Yeah.
Because the three I made were through whoever their guy was.
Yeah.
Was it hard for you to make sports bets?
There was a bookie at the time.
But was it difficult? I mean, like, if you didn't know that guy, would you have been able to find some guy pretty easily?
Probably. I could tell you this. Getting paid is a little more shady. Getting paid is harder than finding where to make the bets.
Well, I can imagine that.
It's not just like some direct deposit thing. You have to get through. I mean, I don't know. The bookie ran everything in this situation. And I wasn't heavily involved. I just did it enough where I know what I'm talking about. Yeah, it would be more, I'll say this, it'll be a lot more comfortable if it, you know, now that it's legal, if there were kind of more mainstream ways of getting paid. An app that everybody could freely use, it was connected to your bank account, say. That's a little dangerous because you don't want funds just getting zapped if you're betting and, yeah, getting paid. I mean, you don't need people coming to break your legs, you know?
No, I don't ever need that.
The Bank of Montreal or whatever.
I just can't understand why sports betting was so taboo, but going to the casino and blowing your entire paycheck was perfectly all right in this country. I've never understood why there was this big difference between the two of them.
Well, it's big for the business, I think, that we're in. It's big for the sport. I mean, like I said, you watch these games. You should have seen me one day. The last team I had in an 18 parlay, Navy Notre Dame, okay? And I had the over. So you can bet over under.
Okay.
So I needed the over. Notre Dame, I'm watching this game. Notre Dame was up 40-0 over Navy. And I'm watching, like I said, it's the last 2 minutes of a tied Super Bowl because I need the over of 44.
Yeah, so you just need a friggin' touchdown.
At the last second, Navy threw this fade to this big fat fullback in the end zone. He makes a one-handed catch at the back corner of the end zone. I'm erupting because that made it 40-6, and I get the over and won the bet.
So like, does sports become more popular because of this? Do you believe?
There's a definite possibility.
I think it doesn't actually make sports overall more popular, but it makes those games that you're talking about far more popular. I think the amount of people watching sports is going to stay the exact same.
Look,
but those people are going to be more invested and watch more sports.
I'm thinking about my wife. I don't know if it would make the sports more popular. She's not huge into sports.
Yeah.
But if I said, hey, babe, if this happens in this game, we win X, she would watch the hell out of that game. She'd be interested. I bet. Yeah. I'm thinking.
Probably.
So
I mean,
I don't know
there's
if that
an
gets
investment
her more into,
in it.
I don't know if that gets her more into sports.
There's more of more than just an entertainment investment. There's a financial investment.
Yeah, and that makes it fun.
The one thing I hate, don't ever ask me. If you're going to make the bet and it's your money, don't ask me because I don't want any part of it.
Responsibility for
none.
Me, yeah.
Because on Mondays, I have this buddy, you know, there's a Monday night football in England. There's a soccer game every Monday night.
Okay.
Or at like 3:30 in the afternoon for us. And he would always ask me, what's the deal with these two teams? Like, who do you think should win?
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't know what he was – I thought he was just genuinely asking me because I watched the sport. So I was like, oh, you know, I think Stoke's better than Sunderland or whatever. And then it turns out, like 2 weeks later, I realized, no, he's taking my information and betting on it. When, who the hell am I? Yeah. I don't know. I don't even know what the rules of gambling on soccer are. I get it with football and I get it with basketball. I truly understand it, but baseball and hockey and soccer, I would never really understand it.
Now, there's things called prop bets, which I'm sure you've heard of at the Super Bowl.
Yeah, that's like with the Super Bowl, like it's going to be heads or tails. Yeah. That's stupid. That's fine. I mean, I think that's fun.
So Bovada had a line.
But I think that's fun because it's once a year.
Bovada had a line, will Kate Middleton wear the same color hat as the Queen at
and
the Royal Wedding?
And people bet on this.
Now, yes. Now, the line was minus 10,000. So
$1 got you 10,000 if you hit it right.
Well, no. You would have to bet $10,000 to win 100.
Oh, okay. Okay. So, I got it. It's based on 100.
Yeah, so.
Okay.
Because I guess there was no chance that was going to happen. So that's why it was minus 10,000. So if you had bet that they weren't going to wear the same hat, and I guess they didn't wear the same hat, I mean.
Oh, my God. Who the hell cares?
I agree, but people bet on it. Yeah, I don't understand.
But it was just they had the line. Listen, I'm just saying they had a line.
I may not understand it. I will probably never do it again. It doesn't really interest me that much. I understand why it interests certain people. It does make sports more interesting. I get that. I've seen it in person with my friends where they're watching a crap game from two teams that you don't care about. No one really cares about. They're not even good, but they're invested in what happens, and I get it. That's interesting. I think it's a great thing that we finally did this.
Yes, absolutely.
Because and it's not just gambling.
And people
it's
need
a
to
lot
be more,
of things.
They need to be responsible with their money. I mean, you've got to be responsible about
but
it.
But it's not the government's job to worry about what
of
you
course.
Do with your money after you've paid your taxes. You know, they care about their taxes.
Yeah.
And that's part of the reason why they're doing this, because they know they can make more money off of this. Same thing with the marijuana industry. They finally looked at it and was like, hey, we can make a hell of a lot more money if we just legalize this. And you know what? It's really not that bad. You know, we have law, but we're not the morality law. You get to choose what you do. And that's what I believe in. I believe that this is a good thing because you're allowing us to make our own choices instead of telling us exactly what we need to do. The government's not supposed to be the parent, and we're not supposed to be the children. And that's the way we've been acting for a long time, where we are the children and the government is the parent.
I think this is a good day or a good ruling for sports, for the media. Anybody associated with the professional sports, with sports, it's only going to generate interest. I think that's where we go.
Here's the one flaw that I have right now. The one flaw is that for those people who have listened to sports radio across the country, now, we don't have this same problem here because we have actually pretty good sports talk here.
Yeah.
Better than anywhere else in the country, for the most part. But most of these other sports stations, they're getting paid by some con man who is a sports gambling expert. I don't want to see too much of that crap. Because they are con men. They don't know diddly poo about anything. I don't want to hear that type of content. It's garbage. It's a waste of time.
What content?
You've never heard those paid programming shows with a sports bookie or a gambling expert? Oh, they do them all the time. I used to have to host
on,
one.
Where they bring on a gambling? Don't they do that on the Saturday show here?
Oh, yes, they do on the Saturday show here. Sorry, I was thinking
it's a
Boston.
Shame. It's a shame, and I know what it is. It's the company.
They do. They have a handicapper call.
It's the company taking short money, and I get it. I totally get it. You're taking the money.
Okay.
But it's awful radio. It's
Mutt teaches you how to bet the horses.
Yeah.
What'd you say?
Mutt teaches you how to bet the horses.
Yeah, but Mutt's a sports radio personality.
Just, for the record, I've never done anything like that. My only betting experience is games, wins and losses, over-unders, and just tip, never do the under. Rooting for the under is miserable.
It's like rooting for defense all day
long. Yeah, it's miserable. Unless you know like a football game, let's say there's a football game and there's going to be wind and rain all day long.
Or if the Seahawks are playing.
The Seahawks?
Yeah, because they never score.
Okay.
They win games like 13-6.
Right. It's a game like that. It's just miserable to root for. We got to go to break. Okay, when we get back, we're going to start putting a wrap on some things. We want to get to the Red Sox. We haven't talked about that. This is the Mark and Kitchen Show.
Now, back to Mark and Kitchen on Sports Radio 103.7 WEEI.
All right, let's give David Price some credit. He's pitched well. He pitched a complete game back on Wednesday night, against the Orioles. Manny Machado got him for a meaningless two-run home run in the ninth. But he's been pitching well. And here's what I'll say about that. David Price, people are giving him credit. They're trying to, the Tuca people are getting on the David Price bandwagon now.
People.
Listen, David Price, I looked it up last week. He makes $59 a second. He makes $3,000-something dollars an hour. He makes like $9,000 a pitch.
Love it.
So these are the kinds of starts I should see out of David Price. This should be the norm. Now, every now and then, you're not going to pitch well. You'll get lit up a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
But I need to see more of these starts. You know, starts akin to this. I don't want to hear, what am I supposed to do that just because David Price, in a game in mid-May, dominated the last place Orioles? Do you want me to go party because of that? What am I supposed to do? Good for you. I want to see another one and another one and another one. Then maybe you can throw in a difficult outing and shut up the whole time. No mopey comments, no weak comments, no. I don't want to hear any of the David Price comments. Shut up and have these kinds of outings.
Yeah, he needs to do this a hell of a lot more often because that's what he's paid to do.
Yeah.
And he's paid that well because he's supposed to be that good of a pitcher.
Yeah.
And you know what? Here's the thing. He's up next against the Tampa Bay Rays this week. I just have a feeling he's going to get shelled. I just do. I have no confidence in this guy. None. I have more confidence in Rick Parcello, who was worse last year than David Price has ever been.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of like what we talked about earlier with LeBron. I mean, who would you really want to be in the foxhole with?
Not David Price. No.
Not Tuukka Rask. And compared to other legends, not LeBron.
Yes, I agree. I have no faith in this man. This is exactly what he should have been doing all along for this team. This is the ability he actually has. But when the guy who's supposed to be your ace, you have more confidence in the third guy in the rotation then, that's really bad for this team. And I wonder how they feel playing behind him. You know, the pitching staff had his back. Porcello had his back when he got into it with Evan Drellick, and then that led into getting into it with Eckersley. And it seemed like Pedroia was on Price's side with that.
Pedroia needs to be, when he gets back, he needs to be on Alex Cora's side. He can't be doing this. He needs to lead. What we talked about at the end of last year.
Yeah, well, he just needs to keep his mouth shut.
Leadership.
He needs to keep his mouth shut, really. Because he's not even one of the top 10 guys on the team.
No.
You know, that whole outfield is better than him.
Mookie Betts has been excellent.
Mookie Betts has been the best player in baseball so far through the season.
He won, I'm sorry, what year was it that he finished second in MVP?
2 years ago.
Okay. He had better, now the analytics favored Mike Trout.
That's stupid.
And that's why he won the award.
Wins over replacement means nothing.
Okay. Betts had better, Betts overall, his statistics in that season were better than Trout's, but Trout won the award.
Here's what you need to know. Betts played excellent. Mike Trout played excellent.
Yeah.
Both players played really well. One team made the playoffs. One team didn't.
Yep.
One team won their division. The other team didn't even come close to winning their division. Didn't even come close to making a wild card slot. That should tell you what you need to know. Trout is a great baseball player. Mookie Betts, far more valuable to his team than Mike Trout is to his. Why? Mike Trout's team doesn't win.
Yeah.
His greatness doesn't put victories in the win column for them. Mookie's greatness puts victories in the win column for the Red
Sox.
So
let me just...
That's what you need to know.
I just want to present this to you.
Yes.
Just some stats from 2016 through 2018.
Who are we looking at? Mookie?
Mookie, Trout, and Bryce Harper.
Okay.
Okay? All three of them.
Yep.
Now, Betts is the first name I'm going to read. Then it's Trout. Then it's Harper. Okay?
Okay.
So the numbers, the first number will be Betts. Games played, 2016 to 2018, 353, 319, 302. Betts, Trout, Harper.
Okay.
Runs, 271, 251, 210. Hits, Betts, Trout, Harper, 440, 344, 291.
Who?
Home runs, 70, 76, 66.
Bryce Harper has 66 home runs
Mookie
in that time?
Betts has four more home runs than Bryce Harper in the last 3 years.
Oh, he did get hurt for a while.
Yeah, but that's a part of this. Durability. Yeah. RBIs, Betts, Trout, Harper, 247, 200, 204.
Damn.
Mookie Betts dominating in RBIs. Extra base hits, 184, 152, 124. Mookie Betts on top of that list. Stolen bases, 63, 60, 29. Betts on top of that list. Walks, Trout and Harper are way ahead of Betts. Betts 145, Trout 248, Harper 217. I wonder if that's a size thing, just because she's not physically imposing.
Mm.
Strikeouts, Betts, Trout, Harper 180, 266, 248.
Okay.
Batting average 301, 309, 271. Slugging percentage 528, 591, 512. And then OPS 891, 1,031,902. Most of the statistics that you care about, Mookie Betts is leading. I don't think he's in last place. I mean, okay, he's in last place in terms of
runs.
Walks.
Doesn't really matter all that much to me because it's predicated on what people are doing behind.
But I mean, RBIs, he's crushing them in RBIs, crushing them.
Yeah.
247 to 204 is the next closest. Doubles, I didn't even do doubles. 106, 66, 55. Doubles.
So what you're saying is you'll take Mookie Betts over Trout and Bryce Harper.
He's been freaking better. End of this. I don't care about WAR. This guy's been better. I mean, he has more home runs.
WAR doesn't matter. It's about a baseline for something else that, again, it's a mathematical equation that doesn't belong in sports. None of those things matter.
One more stat for you. He's younger than Trout, and he's the same age as Bryce Harper. Trout is 26. Harper and Betts are 25.
Yeah. Well, he's going to get paid. He is going to get paid. And he deserves it. Because based off of what you read right there, he's better than those two.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know if he actually is better than those two. He's obviously played in a better situation. Both Harper and Betts have played in a much better situation than Trout has.
I will say that Trout's probably a better defender. In center field, he robs the home runs. He's probably better defensively.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, Harper's obviously the low man on the totem pole
Betts
when it comes to defensively.
He's very good defensively.
All three of them are actually pretty damn good defensively.
Yeah.
You really can't go too wrong with any of them. Trout has had the issue of there's been very little pitching out there.
Yep.
There hasn't been very good teams.
Injuries.
Hamilton comes out there. He stinks all of a sudden.
Richards gets hurt.
Pujols, not the same Pujols he was before and got a ton of money. But look at what I just said. Look at who I just talked about. Pujols, Josh Hamilton in his prime. And then you have also Mike Trout, but they can't do anything. They can't win games out there. So the numbers are great and everything, but what kind of impact do you have at the end of the day on the game and winning and losing? You know, the numbers are great, but if you're not winning the games, what do they matter? A-Rod in 2003, 52 home runs. I want to say he hit like 288. He had a great season individually. The Texas Rangers were the last team in the AL Central. I think they were the last team in the American League that year. And he still wins most valuable player. What value did he bring? He was the most expensive player in baseball, on the last place team in the American League, and yeah, he hit 52 home runs. But your name or your award is most valuable player. He wasn't valuable. He didn't win games.
Yeah.
If you don't win games, then you're not really that good.
Yeah, that could be a whole separate decision. I know what you're saying.
No, I mean, I don't want to go too far down that rabbit
winning,
hole of
winning
the
is,
name of the award.
Right.
I mean, they should all just follow the NCAA, most outstanding player. Because then we'd get it.
Yeah.
It's a lot easier to do that. But I'd rather take the two guys. I'd rather have Betts and Harper because both of those guys have experienced winning and know how to win and have an impact on their team winning. Trout, unfortunately, really doesn't.
And I know it's fun to watch the big, you know, the big bodied and how far that Bryce Harper can hit the ball. But at his size, Betts 5'10". I mean, you wouldn't even bat an eye if he walked past you. Just some dude hits for power. He does it all. Great player. We'll wrap everything up on this show when we get back. This is the Mark and Kitchen Show, 103.7 WEEI.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.